This morning, we welcome Roger Cleary as our speaker. Roger is a professor emeritus of Chicago's Roosevelt University in the College of Arts and Sciences Department of Computer Science and Information Technology. He's a member of UUFM and an active volunteer. He'll be speaking today on the topic, The Science of Muddling Through. Let's welcome Roger.
Oh, it's been a while since I've done this. I still get nervous. Okay. Can you hear me? Loud? Okay, all right. Here we go. The science of muddling through. Background. I was at Dr. Jill Austin's house for a board meeting. Must have been in August. Andrea asked me, "How are you doing?" Now, most people really don't want an extended explanation of your medical history, and Andrea, having gone through some extensive medical procedures herself, surely didn't want to hear my complaints. I had complaints when the nurse at the oncology office botched a relatively simple insertion of a needle in my arm. It had been over 2 weeks, and my arm hurt more every day. So, I had this laconic response. I'm muddling through. Andrea understood probably more than 1,000 descriptive words could convey. What is muddling through? This got me to thinking. Now that's dangerous. How do we get through life? How do we make decisions? I know some formal decision-making processes, but are they better than just muddling through? What is muddling through? The dictionary says it is to continue despite confusion and difficulties, or to manage to get through something awkwardly. But is this something real? From the UUFM Midweek News, this great quote from Anna Quinlan, "Life is not so much beginnings and endings as it is about going on and on and on. It's about muddling through the middle." The next week, I queried the great Google machine for muddling through. There's only one academic paper, "The Science of Muddling Through" by Charles E. Lindblom, associate professor of economics at Yale University, published in 1959. That's a long time ago. Yes, this is real. It's a real method. Well, some background here. How do we make decisions? We all know that most of our decision-making is irrational, non-logical, and mostly subjective. Example, you're at the Publix grocery store. You want some cookies. There must be more than 100 brands and types. Some have several different packaging sizes. Do you want the large economy size? No, just the small wasteful size. You like oatmeal raisin cookies. You pick the kind you bought before and toss it in the basket. Done. Rule of thumb here works okay, but it's less than optimum. On past Sundays, I bored you with the Reverend Bayes. Remember the Rev? He was the Bayes statistical methods. That could help us make decisions, but probably not. If you have gone to college, maybe got an MBA degree, the learned professors, teach something called a decision matrix, or running the numbers. This is even before VisiCalc. I've even attempted to teach this process to my students. Now, I'm going to save you tuition dollars and time. No need to go to Harvard, Yale, or Purdue. Okay, here it is. Example, you want to buy a car. First, you list all the attributes, we call them factors, that your car should possess. Reliable, economical, safe, fast, good-looking, cool, etc. The next step, rank, order all these attributes from top to bottom. This will be different for each person. In fact, these will change as we grow older. A 25-year-old might rank cool, good-looking, and fast at the top. Myself, being older and wiser, might rank reliability at the top with safety as second. After you have them all in rank order, take the top attribute and give it a 10. This step is wholly arbitrary and confusing. If you prefer, give the top attribute a 20. It doesn't matter. Take the next lower attribute and decide how much less important it is. If reliable is 10, then safety is 9. Economical gets a 7. Next, now we're close to finish here. Follow me here. Take every car from the Toyota Yaris to the Cadillac CST-V sedan and give each car a rating for every factor. 10 is great, 1 is poor. Toyota Yaris, 10 for economical, 5 for safety. Cadillac CST-V sedan gets a 1 for economical. Now, this is not economical. And 8 for safety, etc. Now, this takes some time, of course. Especially if you've done all the cars. Now, before your eyes glaze over, take the Toyota Yaris, multiply the attribute economical, that was a 7, times the rating 10, giving the product 70. Likewise, for the Cadillac ST-SV sedan, attribute safety, that was a 9, remember, times the rating 8 gives you 72. You have to do this for all the attributes and all the ratings. This is where an electronic spreadsheet would be handy. I have a handout here. Let's see if this works. We have 3 groups here. I'm going to have 3. Just take a quick look at that. See if I can play it over. Do that. Say, this is why I wouldn't probably do that, but actually, I did a spreadsheet once for Home Products Corporation, and it was that you were to print it out about 3 feet high and 6 feet long. But these things can get really big. Okay. Finally, you add up the multiplication products for each car. Highest number wins. The car you really wanted didn't win. Better redo the values you give to each attribute. I so wanted a Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Sport. This is a great tool, the decision matrix. You could use it to select a school, select a city to live in, select a mate, or a date. Why don't we use this? Too complex, maybe, or maybe we don't like rational, logical thinking. I have used the decision matrix for the evaluation of complex technical equipment. It worked fine, but it takes a lot of time and effort. What's a good alternative? Muddling through. Technically, this is successive limited comparisons, or the branch method. And I have another handout here. This one's a little easier. Okay. To me, muddling through means limiting your options, like those Home and Garden TV house buyer programs. If you've narrowed your choice to 3, then eliminate 1. Now you're down to 2 houses. And they have the music in the commercials, right? This one has a big yard, and that one has a small yard. Don't have time for yard work? Buy the house with the smaller yard, and you're done. Muddling through may be quantitative, but not numerical. What? Things like smaller, bigger, faster, slower, lighter, heavier, can be used in your evaluation without exact numbers. A Cadillac is faster than a Prius. A closer look at muddling through. This is not just picking something at random. Muddling through doesn't eliminate analysis. But in a complex world with high levels of uncertainty, this does provide a good methodology. It will help you find a good solution, not necessarily the best solution. It is called the branch method because you are already out on a limb. Not all options are open. Example, you are a music major in college. In your junior year, you start thinking about a minor that might help you get a job when you graduate. Music education might be a good choice. Aerospace engineering, not a good choice. You can't become a rocket scientist in 2 years. Okay. The current situation is what it is. You can't change that. We all make life choices. When you're young, all things are possible. As a young adult, you go to college or learn to be an electrician. Turn 40 years old and you realize that you are not going to become the President of the United States or an NBA All-Star. Muddling through doesn't establish a means-ends connection. It's the outcome that's important. This is an example. Carol Sue buys an economical car to save CO2 emissions. Jim buys an economical car to save money. Marvin buys an economical car because he can't afford a Cadillac CSTV sedan. Now, Harrison Ford drives a black Toyota Prius because it's cool. Miley Cyrus drives a black Toyota Prius because her dad bought it for her 16th birthday. You don't know Miley? She's 23. She lives in Nashville, and she's rated as the 37th best current female singer. All these people are doing a good thing, all for different reasons. Maybe it's better to say that they are all doing the same thing, but for different reasons. Carol Sue saves money along with eliminating CO2 emissions, and Jim reduces CO2 emissions even though he's saving money. Remember, compare the outcomes. When there are different factions that have different philosophies, you may get some consensus on outcomes. Here's a hypothetical example. Republicans want a bridge at Broad Street and Memorial because it will be good for business. Democrats want a new bridge at Broad Street and Memorial because it will improve safety. I want the bridge to be finished so I don't have to wait in traffic. It's the outcome that's important. Why is muddling through sometimes better than other decision methods? First, you don't need to list and rank all the attributes or factors. I don't need to drive 200 miles an hour. This saves a lot of time. You don't need to rank every car. The Cadillac STS-V sedan has a manufactured suggested list price starting at $85,595, a little over my budget. All outcomes are not considered. Muddling through seeks a good answer, not necessarily the best answer. Often your choice is limited. The doctor says, take these pills, one every day, at $14.50 each, with no checkups. Or, take those pills at 11 cents each, and then come in every 6 weeks for a blood test at $200. There is no best answer here. What are you going to do? Often previous decisions limit visibility or options. We have a highly effective Social Security system in the U.S. Is it perfect? No way. You want to dump it and start over? No way. Small incremental changes might improve it. If we make a small change and it works okay, then we can make more changes in the same direction. Likewise, if a small change is made and it's not so good, we can change it back before too much damage is done. This incremental nature of muddling through is one of its chief attributes. When is it a good time to use muddling through? When there are limited choices. If there's a large amount of uncertainty when you go beyond the current situation. When a solution needs to work, but it need not be perfect. Things to remember when muddling through. Recognize the incremental nature of complex situations and realize that this does not justify sloppy analysis. Compare outcomes. Make small changes if possible. Seek to enlarge, not close, future options to be used when the situation is better understood. There's a quote here. Don't burn the bridges in front of you. Think about that for a minute. Use experience to learn and adjust. By building into the decision, one, measures to assess success and measures to assess problems. And then number two, points to review and change. The next time you find yourself muddling through, remember that this may be the best solution in your situation. Remember, life is not so much beginning and endings as it is about going on and on and on. It's about muddling through the middle. Thank you.